Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh, I got a house full of miscreants. Look here. Look hanging over my shoulder here. Vic, I think Vic wants his own show. He's got my, he has on my tinfoil hat.
Well, because I listened to Steve Quayle yesterday.
He's got on my hat that Rob Pugh gave me, my cheese hat. I've got that one. There's my Lindell hat. My Lindell hat.
Oh, no. Here's Chad's favorite hat right
here. Here's Chad's favorite hat.
The Gunny hat.
I get people giving me stuff all the time. My house is full of miscreants today. There you go.
Give me 25 right now.
Yogi the Boo Boo, whatever. That's Boo Boo for sure. Yeah, that's a good name. That's Boo Boo right there. Morning, folks. I've decided to wear my Jesus hat today. You know why? Because I came in and I sat down and I looked down at my Bible and I saw this. Acts 4. Be it known, verse 10. You don't have to pull it up, Jared. It's okay. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen, whom you crucified, God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. I'm sorry for looking down. I'm reading it. This is the stone which is set at naught of your builders, which has become the head of the corner. It says this, you religious folks, you didn't want anything to do with this guy. You didn't want anything to do with Jesus. And we're building everything around him. He's the chief cornerstone. And it says, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name, I'm sorry, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men. Thanks, Dirk, I forgot about that. I feel like I got trained monkeys around me here. Vic's doing something, wandering in. I'm sorry. There's no other name given among, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's all about, Lord. Hey, folks, it's all about that name. It's all about that name. It's all about that name. And, you know, I wrote the commentary yesterday, Stillborn Christians, and I got more email reactions from stillborn Christians than anything that I've ever written. Because it's absolutely nailed right on. People can walk an aisle and say they're born again. They can say that they are born again, but they're stillborn. But Christ said to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I bet there aren't 1 in 1,000 people in American churches who will walk down the street wearing this hat. Anybody want to argue with me on that? So I put the cross hat on. That can mean one thing. But that's the hat right there, baby. That's the hat. There's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby men must be saved. We're heading out on a journey today. Might be dangerous, might not be dangerous. I'm going to tell you. It takes some courage to go. And I'm going to go. I'm in the spirit that I'm in right now because of the reaction I got yesterday from stillborn Christians, the commentary, the number of people who write me and say, Coach, it's of no use. It's already gone. The rapture's coming. It's laid in stone. How do you respond to that? If it's laid in stone, if the rapture's upon us, why would you even raise your children? Why would you even have children? Why would you discipline your children? Why would you fight for anything? Why would you own stuff? Why would you pay your taxes? Why would you follow speed limit laws? I mean, if this is it, if it's all just crawl up on a ball, wait till Jesus comes and we get out of here. And then I got unbelievable amount of, I still have 400 some emails to go through. Some wonderful encouragement from a lot of wonderful people out there who understand the times in which we live, know what it is that we're supposed to do. Jared, search that real quick. Men of Issachar, Issachar. The men of Issachar. I want you guys to see that in the scriptures. I want to be a man of Issachar. Somebody tried to come in. Come on in there. I don't know who it was for sure.
Yeah, it was me, Coach Mark. Hey, headed up to New York behind Allen up the road. But the as far as people being saved, it's like they're looking at it the wrong way, the rapture. We need to occupy harder. We need to serve more up until the rapture. Think about the Titanic. Think about the last lifeboat, the Mad Rush.
Yeah.
Think about, it's our job to get people on the lifeboat orderly, not wait for the mass exodus, right? And I think that's what they're missing is, yes, you're saved. Now get to work, and that's what people are missing.
Mark, that's exactly my attitude about it. And I get the emails from the people who say, it's not worth it. You're wasting your time. Stay out of politics. It'll wear you down, yada, 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 yada. And, again, I don't know when the end times are coming. I don't have any idea. But I know that we're at a time. If this thing is winding down, then it tells me that the enemy is winding up. Would anybody disagree with that? Disagree with that, Ken? If the end is winding down, then that means the enemy is winding up.
Amen.
As the enemy winds up, should we be winding up or winding down? When it's on the line in the fourth quarter, I don't tell my guys, go sit on the bench. It's going to be over here soon. We say, boys, now's when the game's won. Now's when we got to double Amen. Down and go. Because the other team's desperate. They're going to try anything they can to beat us. We can't rest on our laurels. We got to finish this game. We got to finish this game.
Amen.
This game. That's why I said yesterday, stillborn pitchers. Or Victor said to me, walking out your faith. People, they don't walk out their faith. They don't walk out their faith. They sit out their faith. They pray out their faith, but they sure as hell don't walk. I'm sorry. Sure as H-E-double-L-L-O, don't walk out their faith. No, they don't walk it out. That'd be scary. You mean walk out there where the big dogs roam? Out there where the devil is? No, no, no. See, that's why I got the Jesus hat on today. There's no name given under heaven where I'm in must be saved. Yeah, you can put that in your head. No other name. No other name. Hey, Vic's over here tripping in the background. What do you say, Vic? No sound.
Can you hear it?
Is it working? Yeah, it works. Now Vic's trying to run the studio. The men of Issachar. Son of the men of Issachar. Where is it? No. There it is. Numbers 1. No. Men of Issachar who understood the time in which they lived and knew what Israel needed to do. That's not it. Does anybody know where that scripture is? Where's Alan Zipher when I need him? Where's Dale Socia when I need him? The men of Issachar who understood the times in which they lived. No. The men of Issachar. Just quote that in. There you go, Jared. I've got Jared up. There we go. There we go. 1 Chronicles 12:32. 1 Chronicles, say, what? Is that in the Bible? Yeah. 12:22. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had the understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. And that's not King James. Ain't no way that's King James, is it? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I believe that here at my house today, are men of children of the men of Issachar who understand the times and know what it is that we need to do. Jared's finding it there. 1 Chronicles. He got it. Jared's all over. Give him a second. Okay, anyway. Do you understand the times? And do you know what we need to do? You, I'm talking to you.
They brought their whole damn families with them too.
Yeah, that's right. So you look around, Jim. Most people don't have no understanding of the times. They say they do. Oh, Jesus is coming. The rapture's here. We're going to be out of here soon. So they have an understanding of the times, but they don't know what they're supposed to do. But what's it going to take, folks? I got a house full of miscreants for the devil. Devil took Tylenol this morning. We're loading up about, I don't know, 4 or 5 vehicles. We're heading. Yeah, we're going to go to Chappaqua. Yeah, I know we're dumb. Yeah, I know it won't make any difference. I know. I understand. I know we're wasting our time. I know that. I know you shouldn't get involved in politics. It's just going to wear you out. I know that. I know the Clintons have a kill list. I know all the sides of the country. I know all that stuff. I know we're wasting our time. I know we're going to end up dead. I understand. But see, we're the men of Issachar. And we understand the times in which we live. And we understand what it is that we need to do. We need to stand up and push back. Vic pulled up something. He found it a second. He just said that there, right? And the children of Issachar, this is Jared had it, 1 Chronicles 12:32.
It's not the sissy Bible.
Which were men that understanding of the times to know what the church ought to do. Listen, and the heads of them were 200. It's only 200 of them. And all their brethren were at their command. Thanks, Vic.
Yeah.
Men of Issachar, you understand the times in which you live? You doing anything about it? I'll be on praying.
Now, Coach, you had mentioned.
Hang on, let's get a little close. Ken Hall. Ken is one who's written a song. Ken's written our theme song. He's written our theme song to Chappaqua. He's here from Nebraska, Omaha, Nebraska. Ken knows what something has to be done. Maybe he doesn't know exactly what it is, but he understands the time, says something's going on. Go ahead, Ken.
You know, when you read the
slide it just a little closer, but so you can see a little better. There you are.
When you read Eusebius's history of the church, his account of the history of the church, you see cycles throughout the church. Every 200 to 300 years, the church would go through a cycle. It'd go through a cycle of revival. Then it'd go through a cycle of growth and prosperity. Then they'd become apathetic, and then they'd become corrupt. And when the church got so corrupt, they were killing each other over, you know, doctrinal issues and all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, God would bring persecution upon the church to cleanse the church. During those periods of persecution, you know, they would take, for instance, they would round up the Christians, the Romans did, and they would force them to sign a document saying that they were sacrificing children in their services, or were doing all these things that were, you know, ungodly and corrupt in their services. And some of those people would bow to that corruption to save their own life. Well, the rest of the church basically can, you know, refer to those people as stillborn or miscarried.
Stillborn.
Stillborn or miscarried. That's how they were referred to by the believers, by the church founders, you know, the people that we got our scriptures from. You know, and then, of course, out of that cleansing of the church, to bring the church back to its focus, to bring the church back to what really mattered, they stopped fighting all over the pet doctrines. Then the church got to a place where it was cleansed again and was able to grow. And that cycle started all over again. And that cycle's repeated throughout history.
Are you still born Christian? No, I'm talking, listen, I've quit asking people whether they're born again. Are you stillborn? Were you stillborn again? Did you get to see the life of Jesus Christ planted inside you, deep inside you, and then no life came? And after you were born again, you just kind of laid there on the table? Did you go to a church where they put you in an incubator? Told you just stay in this incubator, we'll keep you warm and everything will be okay. Are you a stillborn Christian? That's what we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. We have the life of Christ inside of us. And see, Christianity is a continual, ongoing process to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Got an email this morning, Coach Dave, you don't get to heaven by works. As if I even said that. As if I even said that. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're not stillborn, you're going to have evidence you're alive. And the evidence that you are alive is works. And works don't do you much good, but works are evidence that you are alive and kicking, baby.
Amen.
Yep. You have any works? Talking to you. You have any works? It wasn't easy for Ken Hall to come from Omaha. Victor, come here, Victor. Look over my shoulder. Victor drove from...
Stop. Oh, okay.
Victor drove from El Paso to Albuquerque, 5 hours, got on a plane, flew to Hotlanta, came in last night, got in the wee hours of the night, and when I got up this morning, he was sitting in the chair.
Amen.
Vic's not working his way to heaven. Vic's showing you he's going to heaven by his works.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, from the Bible, if you don't have the works, your faith is dead. Dead faith does not get you into heaven.
Larry, listen. The scripture talks about throwing our crowns at his feet. Doesn't it say that somewhere in the book of Revelation? You ever heard of that, Ken, right?
Yep.
What's your crown? What crown are you throwing at his feet? If works don't work, what are you throwing at his feet? So, yeah, but Coach, you're getting into politics. Oh, you dummy. Go ahead. Somebody's coming in.
There's two more things the Bible says. One, scariest things in the Bible. What's the first thing that Jesus does when he opens the book? In the end, a book of names, he blots people out. You got to think about it. You're going to get blotted out. The second thing that happens is people come up and say, I knew you. I knew you, Lord. I've professed your name, blah, blah, blah. What does the Lord say?
I never knew you.
Get away from me. I never knew you.
What was your name again?
So two things. Yeah, and yesterday, you combine what you're saying today with the fact that don't ask people if they know Jesus. Ask people if Jesus knows them. That was a mic drop yesterday. Does Jesus know you? Does he have a relationship with you? Will he come to your dinner? Does he know you? That's impactful.
It is, brother. And the truth is, as we said, I'm not doom and gloom. But the scripture said many will come in that day. Many will. Vic's all over again. What am I reading here, Vic?
It's casting.
Number 10. Jared, Revelation 4. Revelation 4, chapter 10. Okay, Vic, let me pull it up here. Amazing how this works, isn't it, Ken? Sorry that you're...
You said you're not doom and gloom, but when you look at the lives of the apostles, for instance, I mean, the apostle Peter was thanking God and praising God that him and his wife were being crucified to show their love and their commitment.
Not worthy, he said. Not worthy.
Polycarp, same thing. As they were burning him at the stake, was praising God.
How about Stephen?
Considered it to be an honor to be sacrificed.
When Stephen was being burned, he saw Jesus standing up.
Exactly.
Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of the throne, Stephen saw him standing.
Saw him standing up.
Isn't that something?
And that's the problem. Our conception of what it means, you know, we want to, you know, in the American church, we've got this mentality that Christianity is about making life pleasant for us here. Instead of for us to be salt and to occupy until Jesus returns. Did Jesus submit to the government?
No, they tell us he did, but no,
he resisted the government.
That's right.
He called the government, you know, vipers and snakes.
He cleaned out the temple.
He went and not only did he set it, he didn't think about it while he was making a cat of nine tails, but what was happening. The more he was making it, the longer it took him to make this, the madder he got.
Amen.
And by the time he got down there, he cleaned house.
He sat down, counted to 10 before he did like his mommy told him.
Did the apostles submit to the government?
No.
They didn't.
Well, first
submitted to the laws of God.
Now listen, folks.
They did not submit to human authority they were in a position of
this
authority.
This is important. Important that you understand this. Jesus didn't pick a fight with the Romans because what did he say to Pilate? Anybody remember what he said to Pilate? When Pilate said, don't you know that I have the power to crucify you, to set you free? Do you know what Jesus said?
No, you don't.
So you got no power over me. So Jesus said to the Roman authorities, you had no power over me. Hey, you go ahead, kill me if you want to. You're doing it illegally. You ain't got no power over me. Right? So when people said Jesus didn't confront the government of his day, hey, folks, The government of his day was the political, was the religious system, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. And Jesus picked his biggest fights with those folks. He did not. Do you remember when he walked into the temple and he picked up the book and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me? You guys remember that? And when he got through reading that scripture, what did he do? Anybody know what he did? He sat down. Mm-hmm. He sat down. And the rest of them went nuts. Why? Because he was challenging their authority. Right. Folks, don't let people ever tell you that Jesus didn't challenge the government. The government over Jesus was the were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It wasn't the Romans. That's why he said, give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Basically telling you, if you think it belongs to Caesar, you go ahead and give it to him. Because there ain't nothing that belongs to Caesar. It all belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. And if you're dumb enough and you think that that stuff that you go out and you earn your living on and you make all that money, you think that belongs to Caesar, then you go ahead and you give it to him. But I ain't telling you to do it.
Amen.
Why? Because his authority was the church. And the church was broken. And he said that what he's doing, he stood outside the temple. What'd he say? I'm going to tear this thing down. I'm going to tear this. There will not be one stone left upon another that shall not be thrown down. So he said, hey, boys, that was his governmental system. Do you understand that? Are you out there? You picking up on this? It wasn't the Romans. It wasn't Herod. It wasn't, what's the guy at Crucifix? Pilate. Those weren't the ones over him. When they brought Jesus to Pilate, Pilate said, why are you bringing him to me? What? Take him to Herod. Takes him to Herod. Herod said, I got nothing to do with this guy. Wait, what? An authority over this guy? He's a Jew. No, get him out of here. It belongs to those Jews. Take him to those Jews. And when Jesus went to the Jews, he called them out. Brood of vipers, whitened sepulchres, full of dead men's bones and all corruptions. Lock up the kingdom of God. Don't go in yourself, nor do you let others go in. That's some pretty rough talk, boys. To his governmental leaders. That's why Pilate said, when he went before Pilate, Pilate said, are you a king? Hey, Pilate was the king. Why, Pilate's the king. And so he says to Jesus, are you a king? And Jesus said, no. They've been lying about me. I never ever said that. No. No, what do you say to Pilate? He said, those are your words, not mine. He says, you're the one saying that, boy. I'm not saying it. He said, I can tell you this. I'm taking it out of context. He said, I could call down all heaven here right now. Yeah, I guess I am. I guess I am. And don't forget
praise that. Praise be to God.
Don't forget this. When they hung him on that cross and they pounded that sign up on top of him, what did the sign say? It said, King of the Jews. And it ticked him off. It ticked the Jews off because he said, he's not our king. And it didn't say, King of the Romans, because Jesus was not a Roman. And for those of you out there who think Jesus did not confront the government, you have been taught wrongly. He took on the very governmental system of God Almighty himself. He said, you rulers down there, you teach us commandments and doctrines of men. You make the word of God of none effect. He's saying this to the governmental system of the church of which he is under. Yeah, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's.
I mean, he didn't separate the church from state, Coach.
He did in a way, Mark. But he said the state's above the church, which is, by the way it's supposed to be. He didn't bow. He didn't go to Pilate and beg. He didn't say they're lying about me. Let me get some witnesses over there. I didn't say any of that. He didn't say that. What did he say? He said, you got no power over me, dude. You can do what you want to. You ain't got no power over me. My power, I serve another king.
You know, it was the Roman government, too, that restrained the Sanhedrin, who were going around trying to round up all the Christians after Jesus' crucifixion. It was the Roman government that God used to restrain them to some degree so that they couldn't completely wipe out the church.
Ken, what was the Roman government worried about? Why? Listen, folks, come on, you're smarter than this. In the book of Acts, which I could take you right now, remember this, when Jesus goes to his trial, it isn't to Pilate. He goes to the religious leaders. And what do the religious leaders say? Hey, dude, they said to Jesus, this guy right here, stop preaching in that name. You stop. You are going to turn our religious system upside down. You stop it, boy. They didn't say, hey, Jesus, don't say this because the Romans are going to get. No, 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 no. If you think Jesus is scared of the Romans, you've been reading the wrong Bible. You've been reading it upside down. And so what did Caiaphas and his boys do? They said, you better stop this, dude. You're going to get us all in trouble. Isn't that what he said?
Exactly.
You're going to get us all in trouble.
Amen.
Jesus said, you dummies. Romans can't do anything to you. We're of a godly kingdom. We're of another kingdom. Our kingdom's not of this world. We're far above all principalities. We're far above all them Romans. Oh, you want to kowtow and bow and be afraid of those Romans? You go ahead and do it. But I ain't doing it. I ain't got nothing to do with them dogs. So, does anybody think I'm making this up?
It's all true.
It's all true. It's all true. And so we're going to go to chapel. Hey, Jared.
Hang on,
Roger. I'll get you in a second. Jared, see if you can dig up Ken Hall's song, Equal Justice Tour song. Time to play that a minute. Go ahead, Roger.
Oh, no, you're just making this stuff up, man. This just making that up, man. It just, I don't know where you're getting this stuff, but this is not what Joel Osteen's teaching right now, brother.
I'm just making this stuff up. It's called the Bible.
Yeah. If you guys said, hey, by the way, let me get close on this one here. If you guys didn't render so much to Caesar, you'd have more to give to pass the salt. It ain't Caesar's money.
God's money.
And you guys fall in line, just dutifully give, just give, give, give. The gasoline tax going up 10 cents here and there. Just more and more and more coming, taking away your sustenance. They're taking your money and they're feeding the people sneaking across the border and you don't do anything about it. Then you want to blame God. Everything's God's fault, right? Huh? God never told you to give that money to them boys. He didn't tell you to do that. And boys, our pulpits have been preaching that for how many years? Render under Caesar. Give him his money. Really? To kill babies with? Ordain homosexuals or marry homosexuals? To put Christians in jail for speaking against butt sex? Right? Right? That's where we are. Your tax dollars are doing that. If the pulpits, see, it's the same thing. The pulpits, oh, thank you, Lord. The pulpits in America are no different than the pulpits in Jesus' day. They were governmental pleasers. They didn't want to cross the secular government. Jesus said, screw them. I don't know if he'd use that word. Jesus said, don't worry about them, boys. Our kingdom's not of this world. Let's go. I'm going to go to Hillary Clinton because Hillary Clinton works for me. Bill Barr, the Attorney General of the United States, that boy works for me. Donald J. Trump in the White House, that boy works for me. I pay his salary, even though he gives it all away. When are you going to get your mind right? Hey, let me ask you this. Do you go to your local church where you pay your pastor, and then do you have free speech there? I'm going to get closer again because I think you missed that one. Can you go to your local pastor who you pay and have free speech? Are you allowed to stand up in your pulpit and stand up in the pulpit and say, hey, pastor, I'd like to preach today. Would he let you do that? Well, of course not. Of course not. Because it's the same religious system that Jesus tried to tear down with his death. The same one. It's the same censorship. It's the same man-pleasing spirit. That's why I'm going to Hillary Clinton. Somebody's got to tell her. You leaving me, Ken?
I'm
going to
grab my phone. She's got the song on.
Okay. I think he's got Jared, do you have Ken's song ready to go? Ken, we got it ready here, bud.
Got it?
Yeah, we got it ready. I knew we had it.
Oh, this is John Broke.
John Brokoff and Matt Bomber. Hey, FBI, John Brokoff's here. John Brokoff's here. Stick your nose in here, John. There he is. Hey, FBI, there he is. 2,477 days he spent in jail. He did his time. Get off his back, will you? Will you get off his back? He did the crime. He did his time. You know what he has most of the rest of us don't have? He has the courage of his convictions. That boy does. Amen. He actually believes they were killing babies.
Amen.
Say, well, coach, I believe that. Really? Really, you do? You ever go to the abortion clinic? Oh, you don't? Oh, you're pro-life. You got a bumper sticker on your car? Okay, I got it. We're cool then. We're cool. Okay, so I can feel it today, in case you wondered. What happened to Justice for All? By this guy sitting right beside me, Jared's going to go ahead and play. And here's a good thing. Facebook won't ban us, or YouTube won't censor us for playing this, because this belongs to Ken Hall. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
They walked tall and held the line. They gave the people peace of mind.
Gave the people peace of mind.
Because they stood for what was right.
For what was right.
And held a lantern in the night.
Held a lantern in the night.
When it came down to a fight, good guys always won.
Came down to the fight, good guys always won.
I know the movies didn't always show it really was.
It really was.
But they gave us hope that we could be what God intended us to be. It's time that we the people stood up to shout. Where's that justice for all? Already justice was blind, and we're all equal under the law.
We're all equal under the law, right, Ken?
Thought it didn't matter, rich or poor, politician or man at the door.
But
we still see the traitors demanding.
Ooh.
We've all seen it on every station.
People sit on every station.
It's like we have an infestation of ticks and leeches. Just bleeding us dry.
Bleeding us dry!
We elect them to protect our rights, but they spend more time just trying to start fights. Fight and conquer. They better think twice. I know the movies didn't always show the way it really was.
Man.
But they gave us hope that we could be what God intended us to be. It's time that we the people stood up to shout. Where's the justice for all? Our Lady Justice was blind, and we're all equal under the law. But it didn't matter, rich or poor, politician or man at the door, that we still see the traitors demanding more.
Show the way it really was.
They gave us hope we could be what God intended us to be.
God intended us to be what we got here right now.
For decades, we the people have voted for those that we thought would honor their oath to serve us rather than prey on us. And decade after decade, they've taken that power, they've abused it to enrich their own lives and their own selves, and increase their own power at our expense. And instead of protecting our God-given rights and our kids' future and our kids' freedom, they've sold us out. They've destroyed it. Now it's time that we the people stand up and say the oath that you swore to uphold and defend the Constitution is a condition of employment. And if you can't keep it, you're fired.
Amen. Ken, where can they find more of your Ken's good? Has a lot of patriotic music. I don't want to turn this into the Ken Hall show, but that's a profound song. Where can they find your stuff, Ken?
at patrioticmusicnetwork.com.
Patrioticmusicnetwork.com.
Yep.
Kim's been doing this quite a while. I don't even really know how we connected up with him. There it is, Jared. No, is that
through Stephen Minking.
Yeah, through Stephen Minking. That's how that, yep, there he goes. Always assembling the body together, even more as we see that day approaching. He's trying to find it. Patrioticmusicnetwork.com. And Jared's getting it all up. We want to be able to see it. There we go. There we go. That site can't be reached. What's up, Ken? Patriotic, well, you know, Patriotic Music Network. Maybe the FBI's after him.
I get a lot of that kind of stuff. The same thing when you try to go to SoundCloud and listen to my tracks. It says that, you know, it's been deleted or can't find that page. Stuff, you know, probably more times than not.
PatrioticMusicNetwork.com. That's where you're going to find him, okay? Appreciate him being here. Hey, Jared, you can stop looking for that. I want you to turn to Psalm 26. Victor just tapped me on the shoulder with this one as he walked upstairs, Psalm 26. I got so much to talk about. Judge me, O Lord, for I've walked in mine integrity. Won't that be good to stand? Don't you hope at the end of the day you have your integrity intact? I've trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Now, I've got to ask you a question here. If he walked in his integrity, why did he have to trust in the Lord? Because it would seem to me that if you walk in your integrity, it's going to take you places that you're not going to be very comfortable with. You're going to try to fight to maintain your integrity. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Well, how many of you could say that? How many of you watching right now could sit down by yourself in a room with a Bible and say, Lord, try my reins and try my heart? For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I've walked in thy truth. You ready? I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. What's a dissembler? Is that opposite of an assembler? But here it is, verse 5. Jared's ahead of me. He's trying to find dissembler. Verse 5. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I wash mine hands in innocence. I never even heard that word used. I wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with a voice of thanksgiving and tell all of your wonderful works. Lord, I've loved the habitation of thy house and the place wherein thy dwelleth and honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners. Huh? What? Gather not my soul with sinners. No, my life with bloody men in whose hands is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes. Can anybody say equal justice tour? But as for me and Ken, Vic, and OJ, and Dorita, and Linda, and Craig, and Johnny, and John, and Don, I'm counting the guys upstairs, and Ray and Jane. As for us, we're going to walk in our integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an evil place, in an even place. And in the congregation will I bless the Lord. There was a tremendous Christian, vibrant spirit in my house last night because of the blessing of these people that were here. Hey, I've rattled on for 40 minutes. Somebody come on in here. Is my sound not working? Nobody has anything to say? Come on here.
Well, Dave, I was just going to say that there's still folks that are working, so I just want to put a plea out to folks again that, like myself, I'm not, I can't, and I'm not able to go.
I've been working this weekend, but I'm sending some money. I'm sending some prayers. I'm sending some support. So if I can't be there physically, I'm going to try to be there with some kind of support rather than just words.
Chad, if everybody listening right now sent $20, that'd pay everybody's hotel room when we get there. We've got 10 hotel rooms reserved. We don't know how many. And, you know, we always think the other guy's going to do it. I don't even want to talk about money. If you don't see the value of what we're doing, bless you, Chad. See, when you invest in it, you get part of the reward in it. Huh? Yeah, we're sharecroppers here. Sharecroppers. Somebody else, come on in.
It's time, Coach. It's time for everyone to stand up. Like I was saying yesterday, evil is coming up again. It's coming up over the horizon. If we don't get up and stand together right now, and stand for God, stand for his values, stand for Christ and what he stood, like you were talking earlier about him standing there and talking against the Pharisees and the scribes and telling them that they're evil of their father, and we don't get up and stand up against that right now, we're gonna get our heads lopped off. Where is everybody? Come up and let's go. It's time to get in the fight.
Matt, they can lop off my head. None of us pick the way we die. None of us do.
Yeah, my neck will break the blade, just, Mark.
Hey, why make it easy for him, Coach? That's what I'm saying. Well, right? Why make it easy?
I don't want him lopping off the head of my grandson. That's what I would say. That'd be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. If you're still scared of death, I don't even know what to tell you.
Yeah. You're easily manipulated by the devil if you have a fear of death.
If you have fear of death. In fact, that's one of the things that Jesus spoke about, specifically, being delivered from the bondage of the fear of death. Didn't he say that, Ken? Jared, there'd be a good Google for you. Delivered from the bondage of the fear of death. See if you can find that one, Jared. Because that's where most of you are. How about that, says Hebrews 2:15, Ken says. This is for most of you. This is for most stillborn Christians. this is verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, that be Christ, also himself likewise took part of the same. Jesus became flesh and blood. That through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver us who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You think you're free and you're not. You're in bondage. You're in bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, wherein all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. That's Christ. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He covers those who are tempted.
You know, when you look at the history of the church and you see how, when you read the way these people were tortured, and the things that they endured. And like I said, some of them caved into that, you know, temptation and that torture and gave up their faith, you know, and then others didn't. You know, what makes us think that if God has allowed that to happen to the church cycle after cycle after cycle for, you know, the last 2,000 years, that we're going to escape that? We're not. Matter of fact, you know, the whole scripture that everybody talks about the rapture is what? The sound of the last trump and the shout of the archangel. Guess what? The last trump, that's the seventh trump. The shout of the archangel happens as a result of that, actually. And it starts out and it says, you know, that when he begins to shout, that all this will be wrapped up and Jesus will take possession of the earth. Well, there's a lot that happens between now and that point of time.
Not going on. I understand the times in which they lived and knew what Israel should do. I've been Hey, Jared, pull up. It just says Hillary charges affidavit. I want to share with you guys so you can be in prayer with us today. It's in the email, Jared. I want to share with you guys today what. Okay. I want to share with you today what's going to be filed. It's okay to let it out now. This is going to be filed. This affidavit has been filed by Alan Hoyle. And some of the guys are going to go make this presentation today to the courts, to the judicial system. I just want you to hear what Alan's pulled up. It's going to be filed today. Alan won't be the only one. GoPros are going to be running, recording it. For all posterity to know that we went to our elected officials, we told them. So here's a start at the top, Jared, I'm sorry. To Sheriff James B. Quatrone and the Undersheriff Daryl W. Braley, to County Clerk Larry Barmore and Deputy Kai Mahalko, to Police Chief Rex Rader, to the FBI, to the New York State Police. I, Alan Hal Hoyle, declare as follows. The following evidence that Hillary Rodham Clinton has committed perjury and treason. I told you and I hold you to your oath of office to uphold the laws and Constitution of the United States of America. That I am filing criminal complaints and charges in this affidavit. Affidavit of inquiry, poverty affidavit of which requires you to take legal action. The Holy Bible referred to as the Holy Scriptures, it is written, because sentence against evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. That's profound, isn't it, Ken?
Yep.
Think about that. Where there's no speedy justice, the heart of men is set to do evil. The Almighty God of the Holy Bible or the Holy Scriptures states that he will judge the sin, will judge the nation and the world who allows, tolerates, or ordains such crimes. The United States of America recognized the Almighty Yahuwah, the Holy Bible, and the Declaration, the Constitution, the laws of the land, on our money, on our buildings, and in many other areas. Whereas in 2009, U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton signed the Classified Information Non-Disclosure Agreement. On April 27th of 2011, British Prime Minister Tony Blair sent classified information discussing Palestinian issues to Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton's personal and security email account. Whereas on July 8th, 2011, Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton signed an official correspondence advising all State Department employees stating that due to recent targeting of personal email accounts by online adversaries, state employees should avoid conducting official department business for their personal email accounts. Folks, Hillary sent that message to State Department employees as she was doing the very thing. On July 28th, 29th, 2012, Brian Pagliano, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's IT technician, worked on her email server working on a mailbox corruption, viruses, and attacks. December 2014, Hillary Clinton stated that she had turned over all of her documents of her personal email system consisting of 55,000 documents over to the State Department, and that this was all of them. By the way, this was done in 15 Old House Lane, Chappaqua, New York. Also in 2015, responding to state to court order that she gained, again stated she had turned to all federal records and documents over to the State Department. But in 2017, the FBI uncovered 72,000 pages of documents that Hillary Clinton had not turned over to the State Department, but that she had also had attempted to delete at 15 Old House Lane in Chappaqua, New York. Also in August of 2015, FBI Counterintelligence Division found on then Secretary Hillary R. Clinton's email server of looking at just 40 of the 30,000 emails, that 10% of the 44 emails were classified. And as North Carolina Senator Richard Burt stated in a letter that those classified emails were of secret classification. Article 3, Section 3 says this. Treason against the United States shall consist of only in levying wars against them or in adhering to the enemies, giving them aid and comfort. No person shall be convicted of treason unless on the testimony of two witnesses to the same overt act, honor confession in open court, which, by the way, we just presented those two witnesses. 18 U.S. Code on treason, whoever owing allegiance to the United States, levies war against them or adheres to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort within the United States or elsewhere, is guilty of treason, shall suffer death or shall be in prison not less than 5 years, or fined under this title but not less than 10,000. The U.S. General Code Against Perjury says, whoever, having taken an oath before a competent tribunal, officer, or person in any case in which a law of the United States authorizes an oath to be administered, that he will testify, declare, depose, or certify truly, or that any written testimony, declaration, deposition, or certificate or be by him subscribed is true, willfully, and contrary to such oath states or subscribes any material matter which he does not believe to be true, or in any declaration, certification, verification, or statement under penalty of perjury as permitted under section whatever of the code, willfully subscribes as true any material matter which she knows does not be believed to be true, is guilty of perjury, and shall accept as otherwise expressed and provided by law, be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 5 years or both. This section is applicable within the statement of subscription and is made within or without the United States. So then Allen puts down here, failure to execute the laws faithfully is a high crime and misdemeanor systematically. Faithlessness in regard imperils our system and our bribes. That's what the framers said. Legal grounds, provable high crimes and misdemeanors are vital to building a political treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. Violating her constitutional oath faithfully to execute the office of Secretary of the State, violating her constitutional duty to take care that the laws be faithfully executed, making or causing to be made false or misleading public statements for the purpose of deceiving the people of the United States, preventing, obstructing, and impeding the administration of justice, withholding relevant and material evidence of information from lawful authorities, from lawfully authorized investigated officers and employees of the United States, approving, condoning, and acquiescing in obtaining the silence or influencing the testimony of witnesses and potential witnesses, initiated or conducted in a discriminatory manner, misusing federal agencies and executive personnel in violation of or disregard of the constitutional rights of the citizens by directing or authorizing such agencies or personnel to conduct or contribute electronic surveillance or other investigative or private citizens for purposes unrelated to national security, the enforcement of the laws, or any other lawful function of her office, acting in a manner contrary to her trust as Secretary of State and subversive of constitutional government to the manifest injury of the people of the United States. The final, most emphatic charge mentioned earlier focuses on obstruction of justice. The greater scale that reveals an ongoing pattern of unprecedented deception, deceit, and prayer. Therefore, be it resolved that I do hereby demand the arrest of Hillary Clinton for her perjury and treason and giving aid to the enemies of our country. The due process will be started for the criminal acts started herein with her blatant disregard for the security of our nation and her misuse of her emails. I, Alan Hal Hoyle, declare as follows. I declare under penalty of perjury that the above and foregoing statements are true and correct to the best of my information, knowledge, and belief. And all indictments for libels, the juries shall have the right to determine the law and the facts under the direction of the court, as in other cases. I have a prayer petition. Complainant prays petition the judicial and law officials of New York County and City of Chappaqua to issue charges perjury and treason against Hillary Rodham Clinton according to the laws and constitution of this free land. Almighty God, Christ save the United States and this state. Respectfully submitted this 5th day of July in the year of our Lord, Yehoshua, 2019. Alan H. Hoyle.
That's hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Huh?
Hoorah!
There it is.
Semper Fi.
That's what we're delivering today. Come on in here. That's powerful there, folks. That is powerful there.
Amen.
Well, one thing further, I suggest, Dave, is have an instruction, another one written for all those law enforcement officials.
That's good. That's a good point. Say that again, Chad, because we didn't hardly hear you.
Okay, sorry, I changed this. I would just say I also have another one ready with all those law enforcement officials' names on it for blocking. If they don't file it, then there's going to be something filed on them.
Yeah, no, that's what we're doing that, brother.
We're not threatening it. We're just letting you know, hey, we're going to hold you to accountable, period. Yeah.
Folks, listen, don't miss this. We are holding other elected officials to their oath.
Amen.
To their oath.
Yeah.
Hoorah.
Yep. Hoorah.
Hoorah. Say, Coach, you're wasting your time. Really? Well,
Well, don't worry. It's not your time. It's our time.
We're starting the ball.
That's right.
We'll do what
hey, we Coach. Do. It's we the people. It's we the people. This doesn't happen because we the people have done nothing. And now we're going to go do something about it so that they are, again, use that word, Coach, forced to do their job.
Can anybody explain, tell me right now, one thing Hillary Clinton has ever been formally charged with? And the answer is no. So how can you prosecute somebody who's never been formally charged? Well, now she has been. Now she has been. And so now we'll find out whether the rest of these guys, our elected officials, will do their job.
Miss Prison.
Hmm?
You know, in the quote, church would all stand up and demand the same thing.
Oh, come on, man.
You tell me that it wouldn't happen.
It'd be done, man. It's going to happen.
Right.
Vic, you're right. It's going to happen, folks. It's going
to
happen.
And Coach, I'm going to tell you, I need to say this, but the words when I went to the gate, you know, touch the post, stand on the threshold, and God says, I will tear down this house. Okay, that includes not just that her kingdom, Coach. This is the Clinton Foundation, which
is
her new name. This is everything that Jezebel has built up in our nation
illegally.
But it's going to fall. God is tearing it down, Coach. We're rolling the ball. He's the one. He's the ball.
Randy, we're just giving him something to work with.
That's right.
Just presenting him an offer.
Very simple.
We're going to drive 8 hours. Ken came from Nebraska. He came from parts unknown. We're just going to go there, and we're just going to do our duty as American citizens and as children of God. And we're going to call for justice. Yeah, you know, we got a lot of time and effort. Yeah, we got a lot of stuff invested in it. But, hey, folks, who else has done it? Can you name one person who's done it? Well, Coach, FBI is going to be watching you. Coach, the Clintons, you know what happens to people across the Clintons. Yeah, I do.
Bring on the travelers.
Bring on. Bring it on.
Coach.
Vic.
How do you knock off the top block in a pyramid?
Punch it.
No. You go to the bottom and you start taking up the founding blocks. So if the sheriff and all them folks don't act, well, then our focus will be temporarily on them. And then they will be charged with high crimes and they will be charged with misprison. Because they are derelict of their duties.
I want to ask you this. Those of you who've had parents, I want to say this so it makes sense. We were out the other night, and my daughter, we're out in the yard. My daughter left her little baby asleep in the house. Everybody was out in the yard, and Abby had one of these little devices that you could monitor, so right. She didn't leave her alone. She can see what's going on, right? And I'm thinking back when I was a kid, we'd have never done that, right? We'd have never done that. And I'm going to tell you something. Abby would have continued calmly going about her evening, sitting around the fire, telling stories and laughing, until that baby started to cry. When that baby started to cry,
she'd
have had to go. And I'm going to tell you something. Our elected officials are sitting out around the campfire.
Ignore.
Happy as can be. And it's time that baby started to cry. And until that baby starts to cry, I'm going to tell you something. They ain't going to move out of their easy chairs. They're not going to do it. And we got a divided country and a divided people. Half of them thinking there's nothing we can do. And the other half too scared to do anything. So those of us who are going to jump in our cars here in about a half hour and drive to Chappaqua, New York, 8 hours back, spend a night in a hotel, do something on Sunday morning, drive 8 hours back. We understand the times in which we live, and we think it's time the baby started to cry. We think it's time the baby started rattling the rattler. And only that will get the mom up out of the bed to do something about it. We covet your prayers. We do. It's still time for some of you to help us financially. I can't tell you the OJ. Not Simpson. OJ Eastwood. Somebody asked OJ. They told the story last night. They asked OJ last night, who comes from Kentucky, are you going to go back to Chappaqua again? Because OJ went before.
He did.
You know what OJ said? I wouldn't miss it. Look at this ugly mug. Come in here, man.
Come on
in here real quick. One more ugly mug just pulls in here.
Yeah.
Ray used to be my number one assistant until he went and got married.
Now he's number two.
Now he's number two because Vic's number one.
What's up there, Ray? Love you, brother.
Yeah.
Pray for us, man. Love all you brothers out there. Yeah. We got a great day.
Hey, Victor's Maverick. He was number two. Now he's number one. Yeah,
really Victor's got it promoted. He's number one. Victor's number one. And I'm going to give him the good number one, not that other number one, if you know what I'm talking about.
Ken Hall is number one.
Ken Hall's number one. Everybody here is number one. We're an army. Pray for us. We got a job we got to do. It's about the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. There's no other name given among men whereby men must be saved. That guy right there. That guy right there.
He's number one.
He's number one. We're going to go represent him today.
Amen.
God bless you all. Thanks for joining us. See you on Monday. If we're not in jail. Not in jail.
And